We may be surprised at what Christ told his disciples when he said that it is very hard for a rich person to enter heaven. And he compared this difficulty to putting a camel, which is equivalent to a rope, through the eye of a small needle. In fact, the disciples said, but it can't be done. Then the rich cannot be saved. No, they can be saved all right, but only with the help of God. And then the disciples, figuring there must be something in it for us. Look, we've given up so much. What are we getting out of our following you? And then the Savior explained that anyone who gives up land, possessions, a wife, mother, brothers, sisters, anyone who gives these things up for my sake in this life will receive 100-fold, and in the life to come, heaven. What is our Lord telling us? He is telling us, first of all, that some people come into this world or through shrewdness become rich. Others come into the world poor, never get rich, and die poor. Well, that's not all he tells us. He points out, this is Christ, that those who are wealthy, and note, the wealth need not be in money. Those who are rich in earthly possessions, those who are rich in natural talent of intelligence, those who are rich in anything earthly, let's make sure this gospel pertains to all of us and not just to those relatively few who are, materially speaking, wealthy. This pertains to everyone who has anything to which his heart can become attached. Because, frankly, by the standards of earthly wealth, the disciples who followed Christ, they didn't give up much. They didn't have much to give up. Our Lord is telling us that no matter what we have, and the more we have, the more detached we must be from what we possess. And depending on our degree of detachment, we shall be pleasing to God. Those who have more of whatever this world considers good, the more they must make sure that they are not enslaved by what they possess. during my years of teaching Jesuit scholastics carefully screened to make sure they were not just above, but way above average in intelligence. What problems they had, because in their folly so many were attached to the intellect they had, and how hard it is for a person who is intelligent to be humble. I have, in my years in the priesthood, counseled too many women not to know how attached a woman can be to her natural attractiveness and beauty, and how hard it is for an attractive woman to be humble. Whether therefore it is material wealth or mental intelligence or physical beauty or influence in this world, or the ability to speak, or some skill, you name it. And would you believe it? We can even be proud of what we think we've got, but everybody else knows we don't have it. We can be proud because our imagination tells us we are attractive or intelligent. What the Savior wants to teach us is to admit the gifts He has given us, to use them according to His will, but never, never credit ourselves for whatever we have. That's good. And this is hardest to practice when what we have is not material wealth or intellectual ability, but virtue. Would you believe it? We can be proud of our virtue. In other words, pride can penetrate even into the sacred precincts of our service of God. Let us ask our Savior to give us, first of all, a very honest appraisal of our possessions and abilities, that we do not preen or pride ourselves on what we don't have. Honesty. But secondly, if we recognize we are wealthy in whatever that wealth may consist in the talents that God gave us, even in the virtue that we possess, to make sure that the moment, mark my words, the moment we begin to take pleasure. Hag's expression goes, become complacent in what we've got. Immediately put that proud thought out of our minds. Because the richer we are in material things or in spiritual things, the more we are tempted by the demon of pride. Let us ask our Savior, who of all the things that he preached and taught during his stay on earth, told us to imitate him in only one virtue, remember? Humility. Let us thank him for what he has given us, but never, never take pride in whatever we have as though it were our own. I'm almost finished, but not quite. The surest sign of our being truly humble is if we are willing to give up, let go of whatever we have when God demands of us the sacrifice. One of the most frequent prayers on our lips, or at least in our minds, should be, Jesus, meek and humble of heart, make my heart like unto thine. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.